The VGRT Gaming Podcast, episode 406, recorded on November 20th, 2015. To the 406th edition of the TD Gaming Podcast and the 239th episode of Video Game Roundtable. I am Jonah Falcon.
I am Scott Dirk.
The VGRT Gaming Podcast focuses on game news from around the industry. So, some of you may be confused why we're on 406 and not 405. One of the very simple reason. Well, we recorded last week's episode, except at that point my computer's power decided to pop and destroy
that
itself.
Sucks.
So I had to wait to get a new part, because apparently they don't have power supplies and easy access at most of the computer shops around here.
In New York? Really?
Wow. Well, the one I went to. But it's fine, because I ordered the part myself, so I got something that was more than half off, and even more powerful than the power supply that I had.
Okay.
So I got it replaced, and now it's whisper quiet, and 405 exists. At some point, I'll just release it when we need a week off or something.
Okay.
And then everybody can listen to what we talked about. I don't even remember. I know it was a good show, though. We actually had a good show instead of a bad show, and you'll get to hear it someday. But we'll have to pretend 405 didn't exist for now and just jump to 406. So, what have you been playing? Well, I know what you've been playing, and then I know what I've been playing. So we've both been playing Fallout 4. We'll get that out of the way. What else have you been playing?
All my other games are being neglected. So yeah, I haven't played Minecraft. I haven't played Civ. Yeah, it's just all been Fallout and exploring the wasteland and it's just an immense game, and there's so much in there and so much detail, and there's like Easter eggs where you can find these tragic scenes, these last moments of some of these characters, these people's lives.
I didn't get that far. I got to the first major plot twist when you visit a certain place, finally, after you have to build this machine, in which you have to get a lot of parts to build this machine, and when you use the machine, then you come to the first plot. Now, I sort of suspected, because it involves the Institute, and the Institute is everybody's boogeyman in the Boston area. So,
yeah.
the one of the things is you have many factions you can choose to join, and one of the factions you can join is the Institute. Actually, you can join all of them, and just at some point you have to make a choice. You know,
yeah.
I haven't gotten to that part yet, but I know that at certain point you can join all of these people, and they don't care, or they're not. For one thing, you know, some are think you're being undercover for them and all this stuff. So anyway,
I've joined the Minutemen and the Brotherhood of Steel, and I've also joined Vault 81.
Oh God, I could never join the Brotherhood of Steel. Although I know something was spoiled for me about the Brotherhood of Steel, in which someone finds out they're not what they thought they were.
Yeah,
so
I found out too, because I was trying to figure out what you just said, basically, is joining the Brotherhood right then and there when you do your first mission going to cancel out the other ones.
Yeah.
And I guess people just like to,
anyway.
I don't know, Google just likes to put things too easily out there.
Well, the problem is that some of these things that you have to do aren't quite clear. And
once or twice
I had to go to a fact to figure out what I was supposed to do. You know, like when you're clearing out the fort for the Minutemen, there is this rubble, and she says, "Why don't you clear it out yourself?" And I did not realize it was the simplest thing in the world, was just to go to a workshop, put yourself in deconstruct mode, and then just go over to the rubble and just deconstruct it into base parts. I thought you'd have to find something to blow it up or something like that, you know. By the way, the Queen Mirelurk's scene is the most irritating thing in the world. Just a lot of crap happens that's just, you know, it reminded me a lot of Zen from Half-Life 2. Oh, no, the original Half-Life. in which you had these monsters and they're spawning out little versions of themselves and all that stuff. I'm glad I had a rocket launcher with me, or else I don't know how I would have been able to deal with it. I should have had a mini nuke with me, though, to tell you the truth, and just ended that quickly.
Well, the energy weapons should work on them, right?
Yeah, energy weapons tend to be weaker, although I did find a fantastic weapon that was crafted already that had a high power for something of its ilk, you know?
Mm-hmm.
And I ended up finding myself getting gun nut perks and science perks more than I thought I would.
Oh, yeah, those are good perks to have, I think.
If you're crafting, yeah. I mean, obviously you can find... And also, I found myself for the longest while just wearing the Silver Shroud outfit the entire time.
I have not found that place yet.
You have not gone to Good Neighbor?
Nope.
Seriously?
Mm-hmm.
It's one of the main parts to go to. You have to go there early. I, you know, at one point I want to get a mini nuke.
I've gone to Diamond City. I haven't gone to Good Neighbor yet.
Wow. So you did all the other stuff, but you didn't... You see, the thing is that me...
What other... You see, this is the thing. This is an open world.
I know. Well, here's the thing is I didn't follow any of the main plot lines or at least do any of the quests.
I'm not either. No.
You said you joined the Minutemen and you joined the...
Right, a little bit. I've done a little bit, but not
see,
that much.
I waited for a while until, like, level 23 to level 24, and then I started doing their plot lines and, you know, taking out raiders with one shot with my heavily modded hunting rifle.
I just use a 10mm. That takes them out pretty quick.
Oh, yeah. There's a special one that you get when you do one plot line.
Mm-hmm.
And I was surprised. It was a 10mm that made people blow up. And
I'll
here's
have to find out then.
Here's the thing about this game is that you better get guns that use different type of bullets because ammo is going to be scarce. Even if you get the scrounger perk, you know.
I haven't been running out of ammo.
I have.
I haven't had that issue at all.
I have, but then again, I've been fighting people much more powerful than I should be fighting, because I've been doing mostly side quests and then getting on it, like I said, so that I can just go through the some of the main quests.
I've been using bats a lot, and I also usually buy ammo from the traders, and they usually have at least some ammo.
I really should get Vans, but I haven't yet. Vans is the perk that you get that can what's it called? It'll show you on the ground where you should be going.
I don't need that. That's a fable thing. I don't need that at all.
So I joined the Minutemen and I joined the Railroad.
Mm-hmm.
And the thing is that I joined the Institute, although they don't know that I'm... What's it called? See, I haven't chosen whether I'm going to be a mole or actually join the Institute. Because the Railroad wants you to infiltrate and pretend to be one of them, which is very easy for you to actually be one of them. And, you know, the guy I was walking around with, Nick, the robot detective... I've stopped following him, but only because I completed his quest. And then I got the lovable achievement for that. And I did not romance Nick. It was a just friend situation. Why are you saying it's lovable? I guess when you complete the relationship with any of the characters.
His name is Valentine. I think that has something to do with it.
Yeah, no, but I wasn't making out with him and kissing like the.
You said you had to make out and love.
The achievement has a picture of the Pip-Boy making out with a girl. So, anyway, so finishing his relationship, he really, 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 really likes me because he likes it when you're good, when you're lawful good. I found Kate. She likes it when you're a prick. So now I have Deacon with me who loves to sneak around. And the thing is that he keeps on changing his face and his clothes. So at one moment he'll be dressed in a doctor's outfit, and another moment he'll be dressed as a scavenger and all that stuff. Every so often, I reached Christmas. I did not go to any of the major cities on Christmas to see the Christmas decorations, which apparently will happen when your in-game timer hits December 25th.
Yeah, I noticed that when it was Halloween, they have all the Halloween stuff up.
No, the Halloween stuff is up anyway because the bombs dropped on October 23rd. However, the dialogue changes.
Mm-hmm.
The guards say, you know, I got too many tricks this year, not enough treats, that sort of stuff.
Yeah, I heard that. I heard that line when I was in Diamond City.
So I have to go see
apparently, if there's a railroad faction, I just cleared out this hospital, Kendall Hospital,
No.
And a whole bunch of railroad agents were all over the place, and I had no idea what they were doing there.
They're all synths. Well, not all synths.
Okay, well, anyways, so I was wondering what. Yeah, I saw the synths too. I was wondering what that was about.
Oh no! The railroad synths are mostly Generation 3, which means they look and act exactly like humans.
Mm-hmm.
The Generation 2 ones are the ones that look like the Terminator
in the
from. Yeah, the Terminator. Oh, that's interesting. But here's the thing: is that if the railroad is at the great old North Church, just go and knock on their door.
Oh,
I mean, you're supposed to walk through the Freedom Trail and look at but basically
where do you start that?
You don't have to start. Just go straight to the church.
What church? Where?
The Old North Church. It's in downtown Boston.
I have no idea where that is.
Well, just walk around. You'll see it.
It's a big place.
Yeah, but, you know, the Old North Church is a famous location, too. Just if you have any knowledge of Boston.
I don't.
Yeah. Anyway, but the code word is railroad, which is kind of obvious because R1, A2, I3. Gee, I wonder what they could be spelling out. L4, R5, O6, A7, D8. Yeah, it's a real hard puzzle. So, yeah. But it's just really weird, some of the parts of that game. I still haven't actively looked for the flying saucer, because I know there's one out there, just like in Fallout 3, and the gun that comes, the alien ray gun that comes with it is, can kill everything, including death claws in one shot. There's a mod that actually allows you to have a death claw pet.
And yeah, I saw that. That's crazy.
There's also that exploit in which you could have dog meat go get you the cryolator.
I tried doing that. It doesn't work.
Well, it does work for some people. There's actually going to be a patch. There's a major patch coming.
I'm sure, yeah.
But it only requires, advanced lockpicking, so it isn't that hard to get. You just have to go back to
it. It requires master.
Oh, well, I have that, so.
There you go.
But, yeah, so, I don't know. The one thing I don't like is the components, because eventually you'll fill up and you're carrying around a lot of crap so that you can break them down and, you know,
it's
just...
You want to build your settlements up, you need all that stuff.
Yeah, but wood and steel is easy to get.
Yeah.
And that's easy to get. You just clear off the trees. But when they ask you to start getting aluminum, adhesive, screws...
Circuitry.
Well, circuitry is easy to find. Just shoot robots.
Yeah.
And the turrets all have them.
Mm-hmm.
So right now I'm with Deacon, who's with the railroad, and he really hates the Institute, so I have to be careful around it. He's a really snarky guy, though, and he keeps on telling
me... everybody hates the Institute.
Except, well, I can't tell you anything about the Institute. You're just going to figure it out for yourself.
Mm-hmm.
Anyways, but here's the thing is that... he keeps on telling me, don't trust anybody, including me. And every time someone says that, I think of Walter Donovan from Indiana Jones and the Temple and the Holy Grail.
Yeah.
You know, and by the way, he sort of telegraphed Walter Donovan that I'm a bad guy by saying that. I said, oh, he's a Nazi spy, or he's a Nazi collaborator anyway.
Don't trust anyone.
Yeah, including... But the other thing is that... The major, major twist, and apparently you haven't gotten to it yet, is... I see, there were hints about it, you know, there were hints about what the twist was, and I said, I wonder how, if it's just going to be that age or that age, you know? And I said, oh, you know what, they went with my most... Because there's some things that I thought, you know, that weren't too, you know, that weren't a stretch, and then I had one that was an actual stretch... And it turned out to be the actual stretch. The stretch.
Yeah.
So I can't really discuss this without doing some extremely major spoilers. And, you know, I guess for people who aren't as genre savvy as I am with this kind of game, it would probably be it'd be on the level of, you are Revan, you know?
Yeah.
Or your master was trying to kill you the entire time in Jade Empire.
The place, that really threw me. Well, I mean, it's like I realized it just before he was about to say it, that he was the bad guy, and I was like,
oh, when he said,
that.
Even the flaws? Oh, yeah.
Yeah, that
well, everybody kept on commenting about the thing is, one of the things about Jade Empire is that when you play it again, and you know everything you see, you start going, oh, I see.
Well, I did wonder why everybody kept mentioning that. They're like,
the flaw.
There seems to be a flaw. So I knew there had to be something about that.
Well, I thought at first it was just sort of like commenting on the role-playing thing in which you don't seem to be killable. you know, and everybody keeps making mistakes around you. It's sort of like that happens in every video game, right? Because you have save scums and you can just keep loading. And she keeps on saying that they keep on seeing this flaw that think they can beat you, but they can't beat you. Anyway, in Fallout 4, it isn't... The twist isn't going to be like you saw it on every step of the way. It's just, oh, okay, that fits. It isn't something that was foreshadowed, really. Maybe a little bit of foreshadow. But more like, oh, okay.
Yeah.
Because here's the thing, is that when you're in cryogenic freeze for 200 years, anything can happen.
See, I am trying to avoid the main story. That's why I haven't gone down.
Yeah, but when you get to that big twist, the story is even half over. I think it's like even one-third, you know? Because a lot of this is sort of like following the Old Republic thing in which you have a lot of shit to do, and you're going to get some spoilers, but you know what? There's a lot of game right after it. Actually, more like Deus Ex. Because remember in Deus Ex, the big twist was, well, it wasn't really a twist, was, oh, Paul's working for the bad guys. Or the bad guys are the good guys, and the good guys are the bad guys. And that's like one-third of the way through, right? And then you reach Vandenberg, and you say, okay, this is where the nuclear missile is. I guess this is going to be the last part. Nope. So, yeah, I mean, you know, there's a lot more game to go.
What I'm looking forward to finding is the Salem... museum, which is supposed to have a
The witchcraft thing. I haven't gone there yet. I know about it. I haven't gone there yet. Those things that say other. You know, you have those the side quests, and then you have the others, which is go here, go here, go here.
Yeah,
like going to MacReady. That's a weird one. Oh no, MacReady is the. I'm sorry, MacReady is one of the. It's one of the companions you can actually hire.
Mm-hmm.
And I hired him for 200 caps, and I haven't used them, so it was a waste of 200 caps, but that's okay. Because I have some stuff. You know the guy who's voiced by Garrus Sully? And he's voiced by the same voice actor who does Garrus Vakarian from Mass Effect. He has a log tape in his thing that's worth, for whatever reason, it's worth 900 caps. I haven't sold it yet, but it's worth 900 caps. And there's some other log tapes that are worth 600 caps. So it's like... Yeah, so, yeah. It's, you know, like I said, it's more of a Deus Ex sort of route, but the thing is that I can see where people say they can do 100 hours. And you know what's going to happen is that after the end of the game, you know, you can just futz around for a while longer and do the rest of these side quests. You know, unless one of the endings is you blow up Boston. That's not a thing. You know, I don't know what happens. They did mention the first expansion is going to be Salem.
Oh, really? Wow.
Yeah. Which isn't too far from Boston. I mean, look, in Fallout 3, it went from Washington, D.C. to Pittsburgh. And that's really far away. I would like to see one of the last DLC be New York City. Because it's close enough. It's
interesting, man.
It's just a couple hours of bus ride, and it's far closer to New York than, again, Washington, D.C. was from Pittsburgh. So we'll see.
New York could be its own
location. Yeah, it would be one of those...
So
I'm just saying, well, maybe it's just Manhattan Island or something like that, you know, and everything else is irradiated. Or maybe it's a small part. You know, you have sort of like New York in the prototype games, which is just a small section because it's quarantined. So if you just have Midtown, that's fine too.
Definitely want to go up
Midtown?
The Statue of Liberty.
Well, no, I mean more like Midtown from say 32nd Street to 45th, which encompasses stuff like the Empire State Building, the Chrysler Building, Madison Square Garden, Grand Central. You know, that would be enough. Especially if you're going to be a little bit more accurate. Macy's, you have a shootout at Macy's.
A targeted place, like one of the cities that the missiles would directly hit, and, you know...
Well, obviously, I mean, look, hey, one of the missiles hit just out of Boston, that's why you have these rad storms.
Yeah.
So, anyway, so we're going to move on to the news, and let's see here. Yeah, we're going to have you do the first one.
Okay. Okay.
Oh, wait, I forgot to say what I was playing. Now, aside from Fallout 4, I've actually played Gem to War, which is a free-to-play, Bejeweled-type RPG, sort of like Puzzle Quest. And I got it because it was free, but I'm going to tell you something. I'm actually having fun with it and getting achievements. So that's actually a Gem of War. Check it out on Xbox Live Marketplace. I think it's on PC and PlayStation Network, too.
Okay.
But, yeah, I mean, it's a Puzzle Quest type of thing, but the way they do it it's actually kind of neat. And also, I haven't really depended on, I haven't felt the need to do microtransactions. So they're there because it's free to play, but I'm having fun without spending a single penny. So there you go.
Gem Wars, Attack of the Giblets.
What?
Is that what you're
talking about? Of War. Gems of War.
It's Gems of War?
Yeah, Gems of War.
Okay.
It's on Steam, Google Play, iTunes.
Okay, there it is. I see it now.
Yeah, I mean, I'm having fun with it. It's getting okay reviews, you know, in the 70s, sort of.
This looks like
Puzzle Quest.
Like Bejeweled.
It's Puzzle Quest. Yeah. Do you ever play Puzzle Quest?
I don't think so.
Okay, it's Bejeweled, but it's combat Bejeweled, in which you're fighting someone else by doing Bejeweled.
Okay.
And if you haven't played Puzzle Quest, then I suggest you play Gems of War so you can get an idea of what it is. It's super addictive if you haven't played it. I mean, I played Puzzle Quest for ages, and then I got up to a boss that I just couldn't defeat, you know? Mm-hmm. Anyways, just check out Gems of War at some point. And, you know, if you ever wanted to play Combat Bejeweled. Anyways, we're going to move on to the next item. Go ahead.
Okay. Afro Samurai 2. Removed from online stores. Players get refunded. Episodes 2 and 3 canceled. This is from Game Watcher. Last week, Afro Samurai 2 Revenge of Kuma mysteriously vanished from Steam, PlayStation Store, and Xbox Marketplace. Usually this is because of legal issues with the licensing, but not in this case. According to publisher Versus Evil, it's because, well, the game sucked. General Manager Steve Escalante revealed in an interview at Montreal International Gaming Summit, the game was a failure we could not do in good conscience, Volume 2 and 3, so we've begun the process. It's been a long process to figure it out, because Sony has never really had to do this in this way, but we're returning all the money. So across the board, we're putting out an apology saying, sorry about this. Afro Samurai 2, Revenge of Kuma Episode 1, earned a 21 metric rating, with the highest scoring review calling it an utter disaster, and the lowest scoring stating, in the words of Samuel L. Jackson, what kind of effed up, repugnant shit is this? Game Watcher fortunately never bothered reviewing the game.
Yeah. So I'm willing to bet you that, like, see, this not only had really bad reviews, but it also had really bad word of mouth. So I'm willing to bet, like, maybe 2,000 people bought it. So if, at $20 each, yeah, let's just give them back the $8,000. We took a bath on this, and we're never going to speak of this again. I mean, yeah, I've seen games that have been recalled. Lost Cities, which is based on the card game, was pulled from Xbox Live Arcade because of licensing. You know, they no longer had the license for it, so they couldn't play it. And then you had games like Front Page Sports Football 99, which I reviewed a long time ago for Computer Game Strategy Plus. It was so buggy and so bad and so unfinished. And I'll tell you how unfinished. There were only 30 plays, and 5 of them were types of kickoffs or field goals. That's how bad it was. It was that unfinished.
Mm-hmm.
But this is not a recall, and this was not because of licensing. This is just because no one bought it, and it fucking sucked.
Wow.
I mean, it reminds me of that scene from This is Spinal Tap, when Rob Reiner's character is reading them all the reviews of their songs, of their albums, and, you know, I remember one of them said, this review is a two-word review of Shark Sandwich, Shit Sandwich, you know, and, yeah, this is 21 Metacritic. I mean, not only did it work, but it wasn't fun and all that. And the sad part was that, well, maybe not sad part, but this was a game that was basically made backed by one of the members of the Wu-Tang Clan. I forgot which one, but it had the music from that guy. So yeah, have you ever seen a game that was so bad that?
I don't think I've seen this game, but I'm pretty sure I heard of
Afro Samurai.
It does sound familiar.
Yeah, the first game wasn't a very good game at all, but it never reached the depths of this game. And it's unfortunate it's being pulled because, you know, there are some people who just want to play bad games just to see just how truly bad they can be.
Yeah, there are people who make a living playing bad games and doing episodes about them, like the Angry Video Game Nerd.
Or Angry Joe. Let's see if Angry Joe reviewed this.
Yeah.
But see, the thing about the Angry Video Game Nerd, a.k.a. James Rolfe, is that he reviews old bad games. He reviews stuff from the 8-bit and 16-bit console era.
Mm-hmm.
Now, Angry Joe recently went off on Halo 5 because of the microtransactions. The thing is that I've been playing Halo 5, well, not since I've been playing Fallout. I'll be getting back to it, though. And you know the funny thing is that the microtransactions didn't bother me because I didn't really pay that much for them. You know, just a good amount of playing, you'll get 5,000 credits easily just from gameplay alone to get a silver. I usually hold out for the gold, but people tell me that I should get the silver because the silver has the lower-end weapons that you might need, you know. But, I don't know. Yeah, it's just rare that we get to have games this bad. It's a you know, thank God YouTube exists. So at least we can all go and look at a YouTube of Afro Samurai 2 just to see how bad it is.
That's true. That'll work, you know.
And when I was posting this article on Game Watcher, all the screenshots made my eyes hurt. But you know why? Because there were different shades of brown. All the screenshots were different shades of brown and very low contrast.
Okay.
So that'll make your eyes hurt. I was tempted to run them through a filter, you know, on Ultimate Paint, just to give it more contrast and darkness. But I said, no, if I have to hurt, other people will hurt. So, yeah.
This does look very weird.
It's a concept that wasn't, that was a quickie, I guess. I don't know. How do you make a game that you have to deliberately make a game that bad? Either that or you have to really not care. I think they really did not care. You know what it reminds me of, actually? Do you ever play those games that were produced by fundamentalist Christians, those video games?
Yeah, I saw those.
I actually played some of them. I actually played and reviewed for GamePen a game called Catechumen, which is a first-person shooter in which you're shooting holy light off your sword. Now, the reason why I bring that up is because they have a lot of intentions, but the gameplay is so amateurish and bad, and it's like you're playing a 10-year-old's My First Shooter or something like that. Oh, and of course the Left Behind real-time strategy game. So I wonder if it was that sort of level of competency, you know, who was developing this game? Because it wasn't the developer who pulled it was the publisher. I wonder if the publisher went in, knocked on the door, and said, listen, get your shit out of here. You suck. We're not going to publish your game anymore. Did you ever see the movie Beetlejuice?
Yes, of course.
Remember that put down that the Dick Cavett character gives Delia? He says, Delia, you've always been a flake. You're a flake and you've always been a flake. If you insist on scaring people, use your sculpture. It reminds me of that level of bad. That's what happened, is this guy had the same speech for them that Dick Cavett gave to Delia. You suck, get out.
Yeah.
You suck, get out. Anyways, we're going to move on to the next item. Activision apologizes for Nuketown pre-order mix-up. And this comes to us from Game Watcher. Activision is apologizing for consumer confusion over the free Nuketown DLC pre-order bonus among UK gamers who did not receive the DLC when they pre-ordered from Amazon. The bonus was exclusive to Game UK retailers, which is basically the GameStop of the UK, but the Amazon product page had the Nuketown promotion listed. In addition, television ads and trailers which promoted the pre-order bonus only mentioned it was exclusive to Game UK in the fine print. You know, you ever watch those car commercials? You know, and all the disclaimers are like spoken really fast, like, you know, yeah. That's probably how it was, you know, in which tiny little ad spoken really fast by the, remember that guy who was the world's fastest speaker who started doing commercials?
Micro Machines guy?
Yeah. I wonder if he did the commercials for Nuketown. I wonder if he's still alive, actually.
I think he is, I don't know.
Maybe he's retired, because we haven't heard from him in a while.
Yeah, it's been a long time. I don't think he does the car commercials. I think that was somebody else. They had a different.
No, but they had. What I mean is, they had someone who did it like that.
I understand what you mean.
You know, There's deals
over there. Especially like the medicines that they sell, and then
oh yeah, this medicine will give you and may commit suicide.
Yeah,
or give you, or may give you suicidal thoughts.
It's like, but it'll clear up your nasal passages, but you know it might give you brain hemorrhage.
Like, people with blue eyes should not have this drug. It'll make their eyes explode.
Mm-hmm.
By the way, did you see where there's going to be surgery in the next 5 years to make your brown eyes blue? Because they figured out what it is, why your eyes are why eyes are brown, why eyes are blue, is because brown eyes have an additional thing on them, and if you remove it, they become blue. So I want to make what makes green eyes then? I guess it transfers from brown to green to blue. Because
yeah.
Every time someone has hazel eyes, it's either hazel green or hazel blue. So yeah, you know what? It's not. You could just go to your doctor and say, "Hey, make my eyes blue." I think that's only a one-way thing. I don't think you can make blue eyes green. You know, because they're removing. They're not putting back on.
Mm.
So, wow. You know what? Non-traditional people will have blue eyes. That'll be freaky. It'll be sort of like Children of the Damned if everybody has blue eyes. You know, everybody has blue eyes. It's like they're all looking at you. It's like, he has brown eyes. Kill him.
Not everybody wants blue eyes.
What?
Not everybody wants blue eyes.
But, you know, if it becomes a fad.
Oh, well, some people will. I mean, it's like not everybody dyes their hair bright red or bright green, but, you know, some people do, yeah.
Are you talking about me? Because I dye my hair a lot.
I was not.
I don't dye it blue or green. You know, I don't understand people. They're mostly young anyway, who like to dye their hair. You know, primary colors. Like, I want to dye my hair blue, and some of them look like a natural blue. It's about as natural as you can get it, but it's still blue. Anyways, getting back to the story, this got the Advertising Standards Authority involved and noted that Activision made a mistake and acknowledged it. They said, having been made aware of the issues, Activision confirmed that they amended to the UK ad on their website to remove references to the Newtown offer, which is, it's a pre-order, though. It's kind of meaningless now because the game's already been released. After reviewed all the online social media messaging, they also said they've been in contact with Amazon and asked they redirect any consumer complaints to them, which means they wanted anybody who's complaining to Amazon to complain to Electronic Arts. Activision will not be automatically giving out the Nuketown DLC to all Amazon pre-purchasers, but a number of gamers have been reporting that the publisher's customer support has been giving them the DLC if they complained about being unaware that the content was exclusive to the Game UK, even though they were not. They didn't have to. And I can see where, you know, you don't have to give away the DLC, but people who ask you give it to, because A, not everybody was aware of that promotion, so you don't give it away automatically. And B, you know, some people don't care.
Yeah, so. I'd never heard this game before, so I didn't.
Never heard of Black Ops 3? It's the DLC to Call of Duty Black Ops 3. You've never heard of Call of Duty? Really?
I've heard of Call of Duty, but I don't play the game. I don't follow the game, so I have no idea what its DLC is.
Well, the Nuketown DLC puts you in the middle of one of those fake towns that were nuked in the 50s.
Mm.
And if you get a certain kill streak, you can actually call down a nuclear strike that'll kill everybody on the board and win it for your team.
Okay.
So, yeah, good on Activision, you know, I mean...
Yeah, it's nice that they apologize for something. It's,
well, not only that, but people who said, hey, I thought I was going to get the DLC, but they said, okay, here's the DLC. You know, it's not going to cost them anything, really. You know, mm-hmm. it costs game, because there's someone went to Amazon instead of them, but it's not going to cost Activision anything. So, yes, a gold star in Activision for just, you know, if people said, hey, I thought I was getting the... Okay, here it is. Oh, thank you.
That's something. Activision has been doing better lately, I think, or at least making their image better. They did the Sierra company doing for indie gamers to come in and develop games for them. So that's good, and then this thing. So that's making an improvement on their image, I think.
Hold on. So you haven't played King's Quest since Fallout 4? Did you ever complete that?
I finished King's Quest.
Oh, okay. So... There are four. There are three endings, no?
Well, they're basically the same.
Depending on which tact you did.
Yeah, you'll get like a different slightly different thing. Like, they'll do things a different way, so it's kind of a different... You could be, like, a bad influence on your granddaughter, for instance.
Yeah, just like in Bioshock. Bioshock 2.
Yeah, there's this part where Manny tries to hypnotize you and manipulate you on the board, and you can turn the tables to get him hypnotized, and she'll ask you, did you cheat to get to win? And you have this option to say, no, I played straight, or yeah, I did. And it'll affect her on how she goes and fights her cousin for dueling.
Sort of like Bioshock 2, if you remember that. Yeah. Depending on how you played, that's how your daughter acted. I always did. I can never do the evil ending, except for Star Wars. I watched the Star Wars The Old Republic. Not The Old Republic. I mean, Knights of the Old Republic, evil ending. When Bastila saying, welcome back, the great Lord of the Sith! Ah! Really evil ending.
Wow. I'm like that. I can't be evil. I like being
good. Watch the evil ending of Knights of the Old Republic. It's awesome in its evilness. I mean, and it's so Star Wars-y evil, too.
Yeah. Anyway,
so we're going to move on to the next item. Go ahead.
PlayStation 4 is getting PlayStation 2 emulation, Sony reveals. This is from Silicon Era. There's been reports earlier today of Star Wars games for PlayStation 4 are running on a PS2 emulator. And Wire got in touch with Sony, who confirmed that the PS4 is indeed getting a PS2 emulation. We are working on utilizing PS2 emulation technology to bring PS2 games forward to the current generation. A Sony representative told Wired via email, we have nothing further to comment at this time. As mentioned in the report, the said titles are Super Star Wars, Star Wars Racer Revenge, Star Wars Jedi Starfighter, and Star Wars Bounty Hunter, all that come included in a selection of bonus classic games with Star Wars Battlefront on PS4.
Yeah,
I'm seeing a pattern here.
I could have sworn that the Super Star Wars stuff was only on the Nintendo consoles. You had Super Star Wars, Super Empire Strikes Back, Super Return of the Jedi, or was it just Super Star Wars on the PS2?
It might have been
a port, actually, because those Super titles were on the Super Nintendo. That wonderful time with the Super Nintendo when everything had a Super slapped right in front of it. Super Breakout. I know. Everything had a Super slapped in front of it.
Yeah, I know.
Similar to the 64. Everything had a 64 slapped. But that at least made more sense. But no. Super Frogger.
Yeah, that was the 90s where everything was extreme.
No. That wasn't Super. That was the 80s.
They were trying to find keywords to energize and latch people into it. And I understand that, but at least the game was still good. Even if it was Super Castlevania, it was still fun.
You know what?
Super Metroid.
I'm going to tell you this. I hate the 90s, if only because every time I think of the 90s, I think of Rob Liefeld and Image Comics. That was a dark time for comics.
Yeah, I would think... I keep forgetting his name, but the guy who was in Biodome...
There are two guys. One of them was Stephen Baldwin, who found God after that movie. And the other one was Pauly Shore.
Yeah, Pauly Shore.
In which raping women is fun. Let's sexually assault women while they're sleeping. It's fun. And everybody, I was rooting for Walter Peck in that movie.
I'm sure everybody was.
and the thing is that 90s humor seemed to be make a lot of spastic movements and laugh.
Mm-hmm.
And say stupid stuff that made absolutely no sense. That was 90s... I blame Generation Y for that. You people out there who were born in 1980, it's all your fault. We blame you. We blame you for that. If you were born in 1980 through 1988, shame on you. Shame on you for the 90s. You ruined a perfectly good decade.
Send all hate mail to Jonah at...
Oh, no, I'm pretty sure a lot of people who were born in 1980 will agree with me, too. Not everybody was into the extreme game stuff.
Yeah, it was excessive.
I mean, the good thing that came out.
It made them seem desperate, the corporations.
I think they were trying to copy Animaniacs. It's just my little thing. Tiny Toon Adventures came out in the 80s, and then came Animaniacs in 1990, or maybe 1991, or 1992. I don't know, but Rob Liefeld, he ruined so many artists because they tried to imitate his style, but he had no style.
That's unfortunate.
You know,
is he the guy that was like obsessed with women, and so he would try to...
No, but he did write women with impossible spines.
Yeah. Okay, so that's what we have to blame for that.
Yeah, I mean, the problem I have right now is that DC Comics, all the people who are running DC Comics are big Image fans, which is why you have Superman in a black T-shirt and jeans.
Yeah, I'm not into that whole thing. I liked.
Oh no, wait! I forgot. The 90s were about attitude. You had to have attitude in the 90s. That's what they have now in DC. Attitude. What?
That's what people say about, like, they want about their heroes. They want them to be anti-heroes. They want them to be flawed and stuff. And then they bitch and moan when, now he's a whiner. Make up your mind.
No, everybody in all the comics in the 90s had words like blood or gun or death or shot. Dead shot. Oh, wait, that's an actual character. Deadpool. Oh, wait, that's also another actual character.
Deathstroke.
Yeah, well, actually, Deathstroke was in the... See, here's the thing. Deathstroke was supposed to be the Terminator. Mm. However, they couldn't call him the Terminator in the 80s for obvious reasons.
Right.
So they had to call him Deathstroke the Terminator. Now they call him Slade Wilson, and, you know, people are fine with that. They don't call him Deathstroke anymore as much as they call him Slade.
Okay.
You know, we're getting into the comics podcast. Anyways, this is full of crap. Because here's the thing. Now, let's try to make this sound like it's Microsoft doing it, right? Okay, so Microsoft announces, we're going to bring you games from the original Xbox. Some of them, maybe, on the Xbox One. But we're still going to force you to pay a subscription to play Xbox 360 games. You know, who cares about PS2? I know there's like 3,000 PS2 games. That's fine, but A, they didn't say they were bringing an emulation to it. They just said they were emulating a few games. Two, even if they were going to emulate PS2 games for free, what about the PS3 games? That's what people want, a backwards compatibility. They don't want backwards compatibility.
It just, you know, it was just like, if I bought a game, I wanted it to work on the next console. If I, you know, especially if I hadn't finished it, and not have to rebuy it on that console, it just, you know, it didn't seem like that big of a deal to want, and I just.
Well, why give you something for free when they can charge you for it? I mean, they already have PS3 emulation. I mean, you can buy God of War 3 on the PlayStation 4. Oh, yeah, actually, it's a PS2 game. But you could buy PS2 games all you like that are from the PlayStation Store. I don't understand. I mean, what PS4 players want? They don't want to play PS2 games. They want to play PS3 games on their PS4. You know, the games they still have that they didn't get trade in. You know, how many people kept their PS2 games?
Well, I did for a while because there were some PS2 games I liked.
But that's just, you kept them for a while. Guess what? It's no longer a while. Now you have PS3 games, right?
Yeah, I think I have some left.
Yeah.
I mean, mostly I got rid of the PS2 games because they wouldn't work on the freaking PS3.
Well, unless you got one of the launch PS3s, which had a PS2 welded into it.
Which I never could get, but whatever.
You could have gotten one. You still can get one. I mean, now they can get one for cheap.
Yeah, and they have, what is it, the Yellow Light of Death or something?
Well, I mean, not necessarily. But I'm just saying, I'm pretty sure they're working PS3s with the Emotion chip, which is basically a PS2 on a chip. You know, like I said, the best thing to do is do what I did and just keep your old console around.
Yep.
Keep the old console around and just wait. And the thing is that one thing I like, though, about the Xbox One is that you can save your games to the cloud on your 360, and then when you emulate it on your Xbox One, those saves will be waiting for you.
Okay, so that was the other thing. The PS2 isn't as connected as the PS3.
No, you'd have to play them over again, yeah.
The PS3 being connected to other people and...
Was the PS3 ever saving to the cloud, though?
I don't know if I... I don't think I saved anything to the cloud, but it was...
But I mean, did it ever? I mean, did you have that option ever? To save to the cloud?
I would forget about it. I would completely forget.
No, I mean, did people playing on a PS3 in general have the option? Because I know that the Xbox 360 was patched... late in its life, so that you could save to the cloud, right?
Yeah, so, you have to remember to do it, and I kept forgetting to do it, and so it just never happened.
Yeah. Well, I mean, on the other hand, I wouldn't mind playing Mass Effect 1 from scratch. You know, that's not a big deal to
me. I would like to play Suikoden 5 again, and I just don't know how much money I'd have to fork over to play it again.
Whatever. Oh, you know, on a completely side note, there was a... They leaked it a week ago. And now it's official that Dragon Quest Heroes is coming to Steam on December 3rd.
Yeah, I think I saw that on Steam, actually, or advertising it, I mean.
And you wouldn't believe some of the complaints in the comment thread of PS4 people. No, it's supposed to be exclusive to the PS4. How dare they? It's a betrayal. Oh, shut up. Shut up. This is I hate that console fanboyism. Oh, no, Devil May Cry 4 is coming to the Xbox 360. Capcom has betrayed us. Electronic Arts betrayed us by putting Mass Effect 2 on the PlayStation 3 and the Wii. How could they?
They want money. It's simple as that. You know, get more money.
Here's my attitude. More people are playing the game I like.
Mm-hmm.
Except on the Wii U, no one played Mass Effect 3. I don't know why they did it. Electronic Arts, for whatever reason, and that's so heavily dependent on save files over the course of two games. How did they... I don't know.
Apparently you can still get the slime weapons if you pre-order the game.
Yeah, for that, yeah, you can get the slime weapons and something else. And I did not know that Dragon Quest X was released on PC. I think it was only in Japan, though.
Oh.
But, you know. Anyway, so, yeah. I don't know. You know, PlayStation Now... You know, the thing about PlayStation Now is that Microsoft completely kneecapped them. And so did EA Access, by the way. Because one of the things about the big thing... EA Access got a huge, huge win. Because people on the Xbox One were playing Battlefield, the full version, 5 days before its release, and for free. Or not for free, you know, you have to subscribe, but, you know, and then it gives you the option, do you want to buy this when the launch? It says yes, you know, and you keep everything you're doing up to that point. So people were playing it, and all the stuff about Battlefield, Starfield, Wars Battlefront was revealed 5 days before the game, you know, spoiled, I guess, because people were playing the full version on the Xbox One, and everybody found out about its secrets, you know, what the game modes were, the fact that you could play when the game was installing, you could play a mini game as Darth Vader and see how many stormtroopers you could, rebel scum that you could kill while invading Hoth. So all this stuff came out, and it was a big win for EA. And now PlayStation 4 owners are saying, well, we want EA Access, too. But Sony, of course, has PlayStation Now, and they feel that EA Access would ruin it. So I don't understand the logic there, but, you know. I mean, here's the thing. Pay $30 a year to be able to play games for free from their library. Play games for free 5 days. You get a 5-day demo of the full game before it actually comes out, right? And it's the actual game. It's not actually a demo. It's just that you get to play the full game as sort of a demo, and then you could choose to keep playing if you liked it. You know, all that stuff. You know, it's a great deal for $30 a year. So, all the Sony players are saying, well, we want it too. I mean, the EA Access is actually considering doing it for PC now. So, yeah, I mean, Sony has to loosen up their purse strings a bit.
Yeah, definitely. There's a lot of things I think Sony needs to do, and I don't know if they'll ever really do it, so...
Well, the problem is they're in a lead right now, so they're going to start building up some nice, good old-fashioned Microsoft arrogance. You see, Microsoft built themselves up some arrogance, and they realized they were in the wrong real damn quick. And they said, oh, you know what? We better make some changes. We better start giving people what they want.
That's one of the... had some arrogance when they got hacked and wouldn't tell anyone for like 2 weeks.
But here's the thing. You know, when you screw up royally, you know, sometimes it's a good thing for the consumer when someone screws up royally, because then they start wanting to please you. Oh, we better...
Yeah.
Oh, you know what? We better give backwards compatibility so that our people stay with us. So they won't notice the shiny little PS4 over there in the corner and say, hey, guess what? You can play your 360 games on the console. Okay, we'll do that. Of course, it's limited. You know, I mean, it's limited to first party and whatever third party. I still can't believe that Rockstar hasn't okayed Red Dead Redemption yet. Because I'm going to tell you something. There's a lot of people who haven't played Red Dead Redemption yet and would love to play it.
I did play that game, a lot of it. I didn't finish, but I got pretty far.
You didn't finish it?
Yeah, that was a fun game.
I finished it. What I love is when the game really ends. I mean, the game ends, and then it ends. After the game ends, after the prologue, the words Red Dead Redemption explode on the screen. Boom! And it's a really cool moment because of what you did, you know? And it's like, okay, now the game is over and everything else is just futzing around completing side quests. As someone else. Do you know what happens at the end of Red Dead Redemption?
I've heard that your guy dies and people got upset. It's hilarious how, like...
Oh, I love that ending. Because what happens is, you know the bullet time thing in which you're doing the quick draw?
Yeah.
So you try to kill as many of the FBI guys, men, as possible. And then you play as your son. And then his son goes and gets revenge, and after he gets revenge, boom, Red Dead Redemption explodes on the screen. I love the way the game begins when they're on the train, and those two old farts are being racist and classist and elitist, you know, and the way it ends. Did you play Undead Nightmare? Did you play the Undead Nightmare expansion?
Yeah, I got the Nightmare.
You know, John Marston can't get a break. So in that game, the FBI thing never happens. His family is saved, and then they're turned into zombies.
Yeah, but then they get turned into zombies anyway. So it's supposed to be a parallel thing or whatever.
And at the end, John becomes a zombie, but he still gets revenge because he's still walking around. So he still manages to get his revenge.
Mm-hmm.
And by the way, what's really cool is that they actually tease very subtly in the first game about it, because at one point, his kid tells him about the Aztec curse in the main game, not Zombie Nightmare. In Zombie Nightmare, he's just reading the book, like, you know, but in the main game, he's talking about it too. And of course, the character named after me is still batshit crazy, and he's so batshit crazy, he's actually having fun with the zombies, and the zombies aren't eating him. Because the zombies think he's so decrepit, he's one of us anyway. He's falling in love with the zombies.
Oh, wow.
Yeah. I haven't finished that. I do know that there's a Sasquatch, and if you kill all the Sasquatches, the last one says, why did you do it? You know, you feel really guilty over doing it.
Yeah.
Because you just made an entire species extinct. I think I felt less guilty skinning a dog or skinning a horse. You know what's funny is if you skin a horse, Johnny actually asks the player, what are you doing? If you shoot and skin a horse, he actually gets pissed off at the player for making him do it.
Like, ah, this is disgusting or something like that.
Oh, no, he says, why are you making me do this?
I think I don't remember if I did skin a horse or not.
It's almost accidental. Sometimes you can deliberately shoot a horse and then skin it. And actually, people hate you for it in the game, too. It's not something you want to do. Anyways, we're going to move on to the last item. Electronic Arts doesn't, quote-unquote, want to nickel and dime gamers with microtransactions. And this comes to us from Game Watcher. Electronic Arts' Chief Financial Officer, Blake Jorgensen, had a lot to say at the UBS Global Technology Conference, discussing its intent to produce an Assassin's Creed-style game. Oh, and that's one story I chose not to do, but Jade Raymond right now, who was one of the producers of Assassin's Creed, is making an Assassin's Creed-style game for EA. which is kind of neat, and the company's Star Wars plans. He also discussed EA's monetization strategy. While EA already includes this monetization in games such as microtransaction models, subscriptions, game expansions, and downloadable content, the company doesn't want to, quote-unquote, nickel and dime its customers and won't put the cart in front of the horse by designing monetization before designing the gameplay itself. According to Jorgensen, our game teams are all thinking, what's the engagement model going to keep the consumer, to really entertain the consumer for a long period of time? When you think about that, it's not really the economics. It's the economics come afterwards. There might be multiple models of ways to engage people. In other words, player engagement is the only way to make them want to shell out their more money, and a game has to be fun without any microtransactions before people will pay for it. He did express just the fact that consumers are getting tired of monetization. I do think there's a bit of consumer fatigue around, like, they're getting nickel and dimed all the time, he admitted, and a lot of mobile games don't allow you to have fun unless you've paid for it. So we're looking at new models of ways to try and alleviate some of the fatigue that's going on. Some of those might come in the form of subscription style, but others may simply come in different ways to play games over time so you don't feel like you're always getting nickel and dimed. When he says that, I keep on thinking about Candy Crush, because that is the definition of nickel and diming the gamer. Most EA products have monetization in one sort or the other, such as season passes, but some don't have any at all. Need for Speed will have a lifelong free downloadable content. I know why Need for Speed is getting lifelong free downloadable content. It is mediocre at best, and no one's going to pay for DLC. So they might as well announce that the DLC is all going to be free, so that it makes it sound like it's a better game than it should be. It's like, oh, but you know what? You get crap, but you get free crap for the rest for the next year.
Didn't Witcher 3 give a whole bunch of DLC free, if not all of it?
I don't know. I haven't played The Witcher 3.
I think there was like 17 DLC that was like free. You just buy the game and you get it. Like,
but he's
right,
he's 100% right here, by the way. Too many companies try and figure out how to get money from gamers for microtransactions when they should be making the game really, really fun so that they want to play it in the first place. Because no one's going to give you money for microtransactions if you're not having fun. There's a controversy going around right now with Payday 2. I don't know if you've heard of it.
Payday 2, I've heard of the game, yes.
So what happens is they had this thing in which now you could pay $250 to open up a safe at the end of a mission to get some free stuff, some of which buff your character. You know, people got really upset because basically they said it was going play to win.
Yeah.
And then they did this one-time offer of $20 in which you don't have to pay it. You just pay the $20 and you always get something from that. And they went really ballistic and started saying death threats to the developers and all that.
Wow.
Not death threats to the four moderators who had to go on strike so that the marketing manager had to explain what was going on. And, the problem here is that the developer, Avalanche, I think it's Avalanche. Was it Avalanche? No. Anyway, the developer actually decided they were going to skew working on Payday 3 instead to market, you know, and do stuff for Payday 2. And they gave it like a 75% off a discount for a while. And they did some DLC, but the problem is they lost money hand and fist over doing that. So now they're desperately trying to find a way to raise money, you know. And they tried some of what Team Fortress 2 does. And their fans did not like it at all, and they got pissy and all that, and they started saying they were going to uninstall the game from their from their hard drives and all that stuff. So if you want to know why we have constant sequels, that's why. Because people would rather have sequels than, you know, that it's more profitable to make a sequel than it is to try and stick with your old game and continue to add to it. Very few games were able to do that, like Team Fortress 2, you know?
I guess you're right. You have to have, people have to be having fun, but I just don't like the idea of there being some sort of paywall or something like. Because there was this little mobile game I was playing at one point where I had to.
You had to pay in order to continue the game itself?
Yeah, pretty much. It was like, oh,
that's Candy Crush. Candy Crush says, if you want to. Okay, you finish this level. If you want to continue playing, pay us.
Yeah, pretty much. And that's just like. Nobody wants that mechanic. I don't mind if there's a game where you can buy a cool jacket for $1 or something. Like, Little Big Planet has that, where you could buy skins,
cosmetic
and
stuff. Yeah, I mean that's what Team Fortress 2 made a fortune selling hats.
Yeah.
And that's what Microsoft was going to do with Project Spark. Except they said, oh, screw it. It's going to be completely free to play. We won't release any DLC. If you want to make DLC for it, make it yourself. Mm-hmm. You know. By the way, there's at Game Watcher, we list a lot of Fallout 4 mods, speaking of making cool stuff for yourself.
Mm-hmm. Oh, yeah. There's a lot of Fallout mods now.
And the one that everybody loves for the PC is the one that changes it from the wheel dialogue into a Dragon Age Origins style numbered dialogue options, which actually show what you're saying.
Mm-hmm.
The first sentence of everything you say, instead of having to guess what it, you know, because if it's a sarcastic yes, no, maybe, you don't know what you're saying. You don't know what you're going to be saying. You don't know if you're going to be offending. No, you want to be able to see what your guy's actually going to say. So
yeah,
that mod changes it. And they changed all the dialogue. And then someone changed all that dialogue translated in English. Because the original version, I think, was by a German or a Russian guy, so it was in German or Russian, and then this other guy modded that, so it was all in English.
Huh.
And that has to be a real spoiler because of all the dialogue that's in the game. I mean, right. You better have completed the entire game. So, yeah. And there's also some other mods. Oh, fuck. I'm going way off topic here. So, like I said, yeah, you want to make the game fun to play in the first place before you start fooling around with microtransactions. I mean, people complain about paying $15 for the Call of Duty map packs, but then again, they're paying $15 for the Call of Duty. No one's forcing you to buy that, you know. But you're having so much fun in the game, and you say, "Hey, why not? I'll pay for it because, you know," or worse, the $40 season pass. When you paid $60 for the game, and then $40 for the season pass. $100 for a single game. You know what's really cool? Microsoft actually sent me a free rec pack, saying, thanking me for buying the game, for buying Halo 5.
That is nice of them.
Yeah. Maybe it's because they saw I haven't been playing, and say, oh no, what is he doing? Well, they should know what I'm doing. What's it called? Everything I'm playing is right there. I've been playing Fallout 4, damn it. I haven't quit on Halo 5. I plan to return to it as soon... Well, maybe not as soon as I finish Fallout 4, because I don't know when I'm going to finish that. It seems like I have a long road to hoe here.
Yeah, it does. I like that.
And which makes me wonder if I shouldn't... You know what? I'm going to complete the Xbox One version, then put it away, and get the PC version whenever it's released really cheap. And like I said this in the last episode, which you people didn't hear, is that I actually am more engaged with Fallout 4 than I am with Skyrim. For some reason, Skyrim doesn't hold my attention anymore.
I guess you're not into fantasy, more into sci-fi stuff?
It isn't that. It's just that, you know, if one thing, the ranged combat in Fallout 4 is better. And
you got guns.
And it's more relatable. A post-apocalyptic future is more relatable than some place out there. There was a mod that I posted on Game Watcher, which got explosive hits on Facebook, the link to Facebook. And that was a mod that changes Skyrim, or at least takes you to an area, which is a city on a desert, a very Arabian desert. And it's almost a total conversion, so you're playing Skyrim in the desert, and it looks really, really beautiful.
Mm-hmm.
So, yeah, because here's the thing. How many games have you seen which take place in that kind of setting?
In the desert?
Well, yeah, an Arabian desert style. What?
Dark Sun.
No. I mean in an open world type of game.
Prince of Persia?
Open world. Prince of Persia is not... You see... You're not in the open desert in Prince of Persia, for one thing, if you're talking about the 2009 game. You're actually running around on these cliff faces and all these green areas.
Oh, there's Quest for Glory that had a desert.
I'm not saying games that had a desert. Imagine a first-person survival game in a desert, sort of like Rust or DayZ, except it takes place in a desert. Can you imagine how many battles are going to be over oases?
I think there's a desert in World of Warcraft.
Yeah. Oh, no, they took the desert away, remember? That salt plain was flooded in the cataclysm.
I mean, I think there was a place where I fought a big giant blue god of Ra or whatever, and
No, that was the beach. That was not the desert. That was the beach with an extended desert just beyond it. I know, but it was still a beach. I remember because there's that huge dragon in this little horseshoe shaped cavern. You know that part?
It wasn't a dragon. It was like an Egyptian god. He was all dressed in Egyptian clothes, and he looked like he had the bird head from an Egyptian deity.
No, then it wasn't the place I was thinking of then. Anyways, but I think that would make a great game concept. And your main currency would be water. If you run out of water, you die of starvation,
right,
of thirst. Anyways, so our question of the week last week, which you have to repeat because you didn't get to hear it, is have you pulled video game all nighters on weeknights? In other words, did you risk missing class or work because you were up at 5 a.m. playing Railroad Tycoon or something like that? So, yeah, that's the question of the week.
Okay.
And look for our show notes at GamingPodcast.net, along with industry news and our gaming history articles. We enjoy your feedback, so leave us comments at our blog at GamingPodcast.net. Also, hit us up at Facebook.com/GamingPodcast, the forums at GamingPodcast.net/forum, or send your comments to fans at GamingPodcast.net. Subscribe to us on iTunes and leave us some iTunes comments. I am Jonah Falcon. He is Scott Dirk. My Twitter handle is at Jonah Falcon. His is at Alpha Shard. And we will see you next week, and hopefully my power supply won't explode again.
I hope so. And
that was really scary. I heard some loud pops, and then the smell, that burning plastic smell.
Yeah, that's not good. That's bad.
You know what my real fear was that the motherboard popped. And if that happens, well, get yourself a new computer. This one is no longer. when your motherboard goes, that's it. You have to get it. You don't have a choice in the matter anymore.
Right. Okay, so I hope you can cover that episode.
We'll play it. Just post it up at some point when we need a day off or a week off.
Yeah, because I'm going to Virginia in December, so that might be the time.
Oh, you know what? I'm also going to Nashville on December 3rd. I'm going to Rift Tracks Live.
Mm-hmm.
By the way, everybody who knows me knows I'm a major, major, major MST3K fan. But I am not moved at all at the MST3K Bring Back Kickstarter because Joel is not going to be the host.
Aww.
Worse, it's going to be Jonah Ray from Nerdist. And I really do not want to hear, in the not-too-distant future, next Sunday AD, there was a guy named Jonah, and it's not me. I don't want to hear there's a guy named Jonah on the SOL, and it's not me. You get my drift? If anybody's going to host MST3K named Jonah, it's going to be me. And apparently it isn't. And it isn't. But on the other hand, I have Rift Tracks. And that's Mike, Kevin, and Bill. So there's my MST3K right there. Anyways. Oh, God, I sound like the guy who wrote the I Hate Tom Servo's new voice banner. Anyways, we will see you next week.
Okay. Happy gaming, everyone.